Welcome to Econoday's Economist Roundtable. I am Ann Picker, Econoday's Chief Economist. With me today is Mark Pender. Mark covers the U.S. Jeremy
Hi.
Hawkins, our European man, is on vacation. Mark, the U.S. data over the past few days continue to paint a mixed economic picture. Care to comment?
Sure. Well, we had retail sales last week. They were soft. That was a surprise. But it did follow several months of outstanding strength. And so a little bit of a pullback shouldn't be too alarming. Today, we had a very strong industrial production report. But here, too, it's like you say, it's mixed because even though July was outstanding, especially for the manufacturing sector, orders out of the factory sector in a separate report have been weak. So if orders are weak, we really can't expect production to stay strong. And we have another very, very similar mixed thing with housing starts and permits. We had strength in starts, which is a positive for the ongoing economy, like production is for the factory sector. But like in orders for the factory sector, we had weakness in building permits. So that raises a little bit of question is how much can this go beyond in the months ahead? But right now, the third quarter is looking pretty solid. At perhaps 3%, some even 3.5%, which would
Talking annualized rate, right?
Right, at an annualized rate. And so that could really make a difference for the Federal Reserve if we do see that kind of strength, September rate hike. And it's already, you can see the policy comments are coming out and from the Federal Reserve, and it's on the table. I mean, as of right now, we do have that very, very strong employment report, and as long as employment is as strong as it is, the little bit of a setback that we had in July retail sales should hopefully prove temporary.
Mark, industrial production, which of course was for July, while the factory orders data were for June. Curious to know about the lag between the two there, how long it will take the rotten orders data to be reflected in industrial production.
It should take a couple of months or two. Some of the lead times, of course, for orders are very, very, very long, such as for aircraft, but not the bulk. The bulk, those orders should be reflected in production. The June orders should be begin to be reflected in the data, production data by August and such for the durable side. For the non-durable sides, it's very, very quick.
Another question. Whatever happened to the retooling, seasonal retooling?
Well, that's a
that,
very...
That happened every summer.
It's supposed to happen. And maybe we're not seeing it in the data. We saw a little bit of volatility in the jobless claims data where this retooling effect is especially sharp. And it with an unadjusted data, what happens is as the automakers retool, the workers who are laid off get unemployment benefits. And so you see a peak there. It's usually difficult to adjust because it can happen 1 week here, 1 week there over the July and August periods. But perhaps the adjustments were just so fine and so accurate that on an adjusted basis, it came out very smooth. I think that that is one possibility. Certainly we're seeing in the production data a big pickup in vehicle production, especially back in June, but also including a nice gain for July. And this also follows what were very, very one of the big silver linings of the retail sales report was strength in the motor vehicle component. Even though overall sales were flat, people went out and bought cars, which does say a lot to speak to consumer confidence. And it does, of course, support the strengthening production we're seeing in vehicles. And the vehicles were were a highlight of the 2015 economy. They're not really a highlight of the 2016 economy, but they're holding in.
Okay. Moving on. Over the last several days, second quarter GDP data, flash and otherwise, have been released for Europe and Japan. The U.S. data, which were released a couple of weeks ago, showed that U.S. GDP was up 0.3% on the quarter. That is not annualized data, but it allows comparison with other geographic areas. In the Eurozone, itself was also up 0.3% for the second quarter. However, both France and Italy were flat and did not grow at all, while Germany was up 0.4%, but down from its first quarter growth. Germany and France and Italy growth was slower than the first quarter, while the Eurozone was unchanged. European data cover the period before the Brexit vote and probably say little about how the Eurozone economy will perform in the third quarter. Business surveys, however, found little immediate impact from the referendum result, but the relative softness of activity in the run-up means that the economy is at least vulnerable to any setback in the third quarter. Japan released its first estimate second quarter growth yesterday, and it disappointed. So what else is new? GDP was unchanged when compared with the previous quarter and barely up an annualized pace of 0.2% after increasing 2.0% in the first quarter. The results obviously disappointed the Bank of Japan. The BOJ has been doing the heavy lifting and trying to get the economy back on track. However, exports continue to fall and CAPEX, capital spending, continues to be very weak. As a matter of fact, business investment fell for the second consecutive quarter. U.S. and European demand for Japanese goods has also weakened, according to government officials. Once again, the question of whether central bank stimulus is running out of steam and its ability to raise growth, and whether negative interest rates have helped and not indeed hindered a recovery. Mark?
Well, that's an interesting question, hindering a recovery. How is that? Because it would cut confidence among investors?
Well, that, and it's also had the bizarre result of raising the value of the yen, which hurts exporters very much. It's made Japanese goods more expensive overseas, at the same time makes repatriated profits lower.
And where does China fit in here? Now, they have a slowing rate of growth. I think last I looked, was it like 6.5%? But that's been coming down from the 7%. And how does that play in what we're seeing now and really drag on Japan?
Actually, it plays a part. But basically, the Chinese economy seems to be stagnant. Namely, its growth was virtually unchanged between the first and second quarters at 6.6% on the year.
But at least they're seeing growth, unlike Japan.
It's seeing growth, but compared to the past when it was really firing, it seems like nothing.
And do you think that how big of a factor is this for the global economy?
Well, no doubt it's weighing on it. It definitely impacts Japan. It definitely impacts the U.S. and Europe, as though Europe doesn't have enough problems of its own. It weighs in the sense that domestic demand in China is very weak, and so imports are weak, which are exports to everybody else. So that does make a big difference there.
And I don't know. I would guess it makes a big difference for the U.S. too, but relative to other regions, it may not have as big of an impact. But it is certainly one of the big things to see. But for the global economy, the U.S. is still growing, and I think that that's, you know, a major plus.
Right. I think the U.S. economy is probably doing better than most overseas economies. It's also a much stronger economy, so it will hang in there better. And I saw a number, and I'm trying to remember it. I think it was about 5% or less impact that the slower growth in China is having on the U.S. It's something like that.
It's interesting. I think next time we should talk about inflation. We had the consumer price report, which on the surface didn't have any pressures at all, but it did show medical care and housing up. And of course, deflation is a serious issue in Japan, and it's an interesting issue here too.
Well, again, the Bank of Japan for years now has been trying to shake deflation and has been basically unsuccessful. There was a brief period where there was positive price changes, but that was because the index was pushed up by the increase in the sales tax a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But they published figures with and without the sales tax impact, and prices basically were stagnant to in deflation once you got rid of the sales tax effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's it for today.